Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media weather team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
This time of year, the world's busiest airport is Oshkosh. During the Experimental Aircraft Association, EAA Air Venture. 10,000 airplanes fly in, typically 600,000 people visit, spending $170 million. Big numbers worth celebrating considering EAA started in a Milwaukee basement with a little more than 100 people 70 years ago. EAA runs through July 30th. Keep an eye to the sky if you're in the Oshkosh area. Daily air shows start at 2:30. I'm Terry Barr.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters. More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8
on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Mick Jagger's 80th birthday today on the Stu Daniels Show. Thanks for tuning in. We've got 9:08 right now. And Hot Stuff, that's what we were discussing just before the break. Hot Stuff. The heat wave that's going on, the fact that the oceans are warming up, the climate is changing, and temperatures off the coast of Florida in the ocean now, over 100 degrees. That's like a hot tub. So, after discussing all that bad news about the climate, let's move to some lighter subjects like divorce and impeachment. There's a story here from, it's MSNBC. No, it's CNBC. It's the 10 United States places with the shortest average marriages. And by the way, if you have anything to add, if you'd like to call in and give us your opinion on anything we're discussing today, feel free. The phone number is 715-388-7155. Let me ask my producer, Aaron, if you have any guesses on the 10 places in the United States with the shortest average marriages. Any guesses? Who has the shortest marriages?
One of my thought is Vegas weddings, but my thought on that is also that people who get married in Vegas are probably not actually from Nevada. They're probably just flying in, getting married in Vegas during a trip and then leaving. So I'm going to throw out there California. I don't know why.
Okay.
Is that on the list?
On the list of shortest marriages, California is not on the list. I also have a list of the states with the longest marriages, and California is not on that list either. Let me ask you this. Do you think there's a chance that Wisconsin is on either of those lists, either the shortest marriages or the longest marriages?
I think it's possible that it's on the longest marriage list. I could be very wrong, but that's my guess.
Well, if you said the longest, you are correct. Wisconsin is number 9 on the list of longest marriages. And what that means is that we're only one from the top. They have these ranked in order so that being number 9 on the list of longest marriages means you're in second place. So Wisconsin has a median duration of marriage at 22.5 years. The only state that has longer duration is West Virginia at 22.6. So you were correct in assuming that Wisconsin is on the list of the longest marriages. There's only one state that has longer marriages. Let me give you a little bit of this story from CNBC, and this was posted yesterday. So it says here the divorce rate has been slowly declining for the last 20 years, according to CNBC analysis of data from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. It says here for every 10 couples who got married in the year 2000, there were about 5 marriages that ended in divorce or annulment that year. In 2021, there were only 4 divorces for every 10 marriages in the U.S. That is a drop of about 20%. And not all states report annual data to the CDC. In 2021, California, Hawaii, Indiana, Minnesota, and New Mexico did not report divorces. And in the year 2000, California, Indiana, Louisiana, and Oklahoma did not report divorces. But of the states that did report marriage data, different parts of the country are seeing different trends, according to USA Facts, which analyzed U.S. Census Bureau data. That data suggests that marriages are shorter in Western states than in Midwestern or Eastern states. And states with the longest marriages tend to be in the Midwest or are more northern. People in Utah get married the youngest, the median age being 25.8 years. And those in Washington, D.C. get married the latest, with the median age being 31.95, according to U.S. Census Bureau, which would be just under 32 years old. Washington, D.C. residents are also the least likely to be married. Only 44.66% of the population has tied the knot. New York comes in second for least amount of married people, with 61.29% of the population married. But that's quite a bit different than Washington, D.C., which had only 44.66%. The state where the biggest portion of the population is married is Idaho, with 72.6% of people being hitched. So here are the 10 places in the United States with the shortest marriages. And it's interesting that we mentioned Washington, D.C. has the oldest people median age of their first marriage at 31.95, because Washington, D.C. also has the shortest marriages at 10.5 years. Coming in second in the 10 places in the United States with the shortest marriages, do you have a guess? Well, if you said Alaska, you're right. The median duration of marriage in Alaska is 16.8 years, and the median age of the first marriage is 28. So we got Washington, D.C., shortest marriage, Alaska second, and Texas comes in third. In Texas, the median duration of a marriage is 17.6 years, and the median age of a first marriage is 28.45. So rounding out the top 10 in the 10 places with the shortest marriages after Washington, D.C. and Alaska and Texas, Next is Nevada, then Utah, then Colorado, Oklahoma, the state of Washington, then there's Idaho and Georgia. And by the time you get to Georgia, which is number 10, the median duration of a marriage is 18.8 years, with a median age of the first marriage at 29.2. So now we have the list of the 10 states with the longest marriages. As we mentioned a few minutes ago, Wisconsin comes in at number 9, which means marriages in Wisconsin are the second longest of all states. So which state has longer marriages? I think I already mentioned that it's West Virginia, has the median duration of marriage at 22.6 years. And that is the longest according to all this data. So after West Virginia and then Wisconsin, next is Vermont at 22.4 years. And by the way, did I mention that for Wisconsin, the median age of a first marriage is 29.55. And it seems that most of these states are within a year or two of 30 years old. So West Virginia has the longest marriages. Wisconsin is second, and then Vermont, and then Montana, followed by Michigan, and then Iowa, and then South Dakota, Pennsylvania, Maine, and New Hampshire is number 10 at 21.5 years for the average or median duration of a marriage. Okay, so not bad, Wisconsin, coming in at number 2 on the median duration of a marriage at 22.5 years. Congratulations, Wisconsin. 17 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. Going to take a break. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
You're in danger. 100,000 disparos lost in the jails in South America. Curl up, baby. Curl up tight. Curl up, baby. Keep it all out of sight. Undercover. Keep it all out of sight. Undercover of the night.
The Todd Allbus Show.
Trigby Olson, senior advisor to the project of Lincoln Project, that is, that this is authoritarianism and the early, as Matt Flynn likes to say, the little cat's feet of fascism creeping in.
And the next time I see Scott Walker tweeting about Ronald Reagan taught us, there's never been a bigger bunch of balderdash ever perpetrated on people.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
That's been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know what you're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming mostly sunny this afternoon, and it's going to be warm and humid today, up to 91 this afternoon. The heat index 95 to 100 later today. Clear tonight, 67. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, afternoon thunderstorms, even warmer and more humid with a high of 95. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 70.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
When I come home, baby, and I've been working all night long. Put my daughter on my knee. And she said, Daddy, what's wrong? She whispered in my ear so sweet. You know what she said? She said, ooh, Daddy, you're a fool. You're a fool. But I go see her sometime. We make love so fine. I put my head on her shoulder. She said, tell me all the trouble. You know what she said? She said, ooh, Daddy, you're a fool.
80th birthday of Mick Jagger. Man, dude's doing pretty good these days, too. Seems like. Seems to be in pretty good health, more or less. Still out there and rocking the world. Happy birthday, Mick Jagger. And you're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show on this Wednesday morning. And a couple other topics I wanted to get to here today. Headline from the Rolling Stone says, "These people look pathetic. Pelosi slams McCarthy for seeking to expunge Trump impeachments." And this story here says, "Donald Trump has reportedly extracted a promise from House Speaker Kevin McCarthy that the House will vote to expunge the former president's impeachments. A deal, former Speaker Nancy Pelosi said, makes him look pathetic. McCarthy allegedly made the promise to Trump after enraging him by saying on national television in June that Trump might not be the strongest candidate for the Republican presidential nomination. And Pelosi says the deal makes clear exactly who is pulling the strings in the Republican Party. The president was impeached because we had no choice, Pelosi said on CNN's State of the Union. He had undermined our national security, jeopardized our well-being of our country. I was very careful about bringing any impeachment forward. But when the president made that phone call in terms of Ukraine, there was no choice. We had no choice. He must be impeached. Kevin is, you know, playing politics. It's not even clear if he constitutionally can expunge those things. If he wants to put his members on the spot, his members in difficult races on the spot, that's a decision he has to make. As I have said before, Donald Trump is the puppeteer. And what does he do all the time but shine the light on the strings? These people look pathetic." End quote from House Speaker, former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. We'll get to a little bit more of this after the break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Breaking news from Delaware, where Hunter Biden has just arrived at the federal courthouse in Wilmington, where he's expected to plead guilty to two tax crimes and admit he had a gun as a drug user. Legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The Republican chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee wants the judge to reject the plea deal, suggesting that the Department of Justice's investigation into the business dealings of Hunter Biden was tainted by political interference.
Rudy Giuliani's admitted to making false statements about two Georgia election workers he accused of mishandling ballots in the 2020 presidential vote. They sued for defamation. In New York City, office workers stared out their windows in disbelief as they watched a giant construction crane catch fire and slam into another building before crashing to the street below. So far, there are no reports of injuries. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Looking for more local programming?
check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. The Eau Claire Area School District is being sued over its handling of open records. It denied a parent in the district and conservative law firm Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty transcripts from an in-class announcement about a teacher that would be undergoing a gender transition. The suit claims the parent was repeatedly rejected and asking for the script that was read to students in the district's orchestra program this summer. The district said it was looking into the incident and that it would reconsider the requests after their investigation. The filing is seeking the scripted statement shared with students, attorney's fees, and damages for the parent and law firm. The Eau Claire City Council approved a $24 wheel tax at last night's meeting, approving it 7-2. The new tax will affect over 52,000 vehicles in Eau Claire that will bring in an estimated $1.29 million to the city for its road repair budget. That's about a quarter of that budget. At Monday's hearing on the topic, public comment was overwhelmingly against the measure. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Boss, so I called Robin Boss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, where are you? There, I called them back and the phone got picked up and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to the Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What if I just, instead of giving out the talk and text line, just started giving up Robin Boss's number all the time?
He needs to hear from us. He needs to know.
It's 844-96-PARTY. What is it?
Write it down. 608-237-9163. Call now.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Jagger turning 80 years old today. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 9:34 right now, and just before the break, we were talking about the impeachment and the fact that Kevin McCarthy evidently made a deal with Donald Trump after he upset him and mentioned on national television that Trump may not be the strongest Republican candidate. So Nancy Pelosi saying, these people look pathetic. We were discussing this story in Rolling Stone just before the break. Nancy Pelosi slams Kevin McCarthy for seeking to expunge the Trump impeachments. And we were to the point where she said, Kevin, you know, is playing politics. It's not even clear if he constitutionally can expunge those things.
if he wants to put his members on the spot, his members in difficult races on the spot, that's a decision he has to make. As I've said before, Donald Trump is the puppeteer. And what does he do all the time but shine the light on the strings? These people look pathetic. So bringing the matter to a vote may burn McCarthy with the more moderate members of the party who are not eager to relitigate the impeachments, Politico reported, especially the impeachment related to January 6th. According to Politico, McCarthy's understanding of his conversation with Trump was that he only said he would discuss the possibility with members of his caucus. "I'm for Trump," a senior Republican representative told Politico. "The problem is, if you have an expungement and it goes to the floor and fails, which it probably will, then the media will treat it like it's a third impeachment, and it will show disunity among Republican ranks. It's a huge strategic risk." But it's not beyond Trump to take a strategic risk in service of a larger cause, his ego. Now it's just a matter of whether McCarthy will follow through with it and how the party will react if he does. That's, you know, kind of hard to believe that they would try to expunge those impeachments. Something like that obviously has never been done before. And we've never had a president with two impeachments before. And speaking of the impeachments and all of the crazy misinformation and lies surrounding the 2020 election, let me ask you if you remember the names of Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss. Okay. Do those names sound familiar? Well, they were two poll workers down in Georgia who Rudy Giuliani said were seen doing, how could we describe it? He accused them of election fraud. Okay, these are two people who were election poll workers. And we should mention that poll workers don't get a lot of money. Okay, in many areas, they're volunteers. But even if they're getting paid, it's not that much. They're doing it not for the money, but because of the sense of civic duty, right? This is a democratic republic, and we all want to contribute to make it a better country. So there's a headline from the New York Times, which says Giuliani concedes he made false statements about Georgia election workers. Rudy Giuliani said he still had legal defenses in a case brought by two election workers who said he had defamed them as he asserted that the 2020 election was marred by fraud. This story just posted a few minutes ago on the New York Times website. It says here, Rudy Giuliani has conceded that while acting as a lawyer for former President Donald Trump, he made false statements by asserting that two Georgia election workers had mishandled ballots while counting votes in Atlanta during the 2020 election. The concession by Giuliani came in court papers filed on Tuesday night, as part of a defamation lawsuit that the two workers, Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss, had brought against him in federal district court in Washington in December of 2021. The suit accused Giuliani and others of promoting a video that purported to show Ms. Freeman and Ms. Moss, who are mother and daughter, of manipulating ballots while working at the State Farm Arena for the Fulton County Board of Elections. In a two-page declaration, Mr. Giuliani acknowledged that he had in fact made the statements about Ms. Freeman and Ms. Moss that led to the filing of the suit, and that the remarks, quote, carry meaning that is defamatory per se. He also admitted that his statements were actionable and false, and that he no longer disputed the factual elements of liability the election workers had raised in their suit. But Mr. Giuliani, insisting that he still had legal defenses in the case, said that he continued to believe his accusations about Ms. Freeman and Ms. Moss were constitutionally protected under the First Amendment. He also refused to acknowledge that his statements had caused the women any damage, a key element required to collect a judgment in a defamation case. Now, I do believe that when we saw these two women testifying before the January 6th committee, that they said that they had received death threats and were even afraid to go to the grocery store anymore. The story from the New York Times goes on and says the declaration, which was filed as Giuliani was confronting potentially painful sanctions for having purportedly failed to live up to his discovery obligations in the case, appeared to be part of an effort to limit the amount of money he might have to spend on the case. In the declaration, he acknowledged making his admissions, quote, to avoid unnecessary expenses in litigating what he believes to be unnecessary disputes, end quote. Ted Goodman, who is a spokesman for Giuliani, said he had made the concessions to move the case more quickly to a point where a motion to dismiss could be filed. Michael Gottlieb, a lawyer for Ms. Freeman and Ms. Moss, said that Giuliani's declaration conceded that his clients had, quote, honorably performed their civic duties in the 2020 presidential election in full compliance with the law, and the allegations of election fraud he and former President Trump made against them have been false since day one. While certain issues, including damages, remain to be decided by the court, our clients are pleased with this major milestone in their fight for justice and look forward to presenting what remains of this case at trial. So this lawsuit filed by Ms. Freeman and Ms. Moss was among the first to be brought by individual election workers who found themselves dragged into the alternate universe of right-wing politicians and media figures who claimed that Trump had won the election. The two women had originally sued other defendants, including the One America News Network and some of its top officials, but ultimately settled the case against everyone except Giuliani. It was one of a series of defamation cases where plaintiffs sought to use the courts to seek accountability against public figures or media outlets that lied about the outcome of the 2020 election and its aftermath. In April, Fox News paid more than $787 million to settle claims by Dominion Voting Systems over the network's promotion of misinformation about the election. Ray Epps, an Arizona man who took part in the Capitol riot on January 6th of 2021, sued Fox this month, claiming that its former host, Tucker Carlson, had promoted a fantastical story that Mr. Epps was an undercover government agent who instigated the violence that day as a way to disparage Trump and his supporters. Last year, Ms. Freeman and Ms. Moss appeared as witnesses at a public hearing of the House Select Committee investigating January 6th and told the story of what happened after Giuliani amplified the false claims that they had pulled thousands of fraudulent ballots from a suitcase in their vote counting station and illegally fed them through voting machines. Although Fulton County and Georgia officials immediately debunked the accusations, Giuliani kept promoting them, ultimately comparing the women, both of whom are black, to drug dealers and calling during a hearing with Georgia state legislators for their homes to be searched. These women are poll workers who work for low wages, just trying to make voting easier, more efficient, and fair for their neighbors, people in their community, and Giuliani's calling for their homes to be searched because he made up a story about how they pulled ballots out of a suitcase and tried to feed them into the counting machine. This story from the New York Times goes on and says Trump invoked Ms. Freeman's name 18 times during a phone call with Brad Raffensperger, the Georgia Secretary of State, on January 2nd of 2021. In the call, Trump asked Raffensperger to help him find 11,800 votes, enough to swing the results in Georgia away from the winner, Joe Biden. Quote, I've lost my name and I've lost my reputation, Ms. Freeman testified to the House committee, adding, as her voice rose with emotion, do you know how it feels to have the president of the United States target you? The defamation suit is only one of several legal problems Giuliani faces. 3 weeks ago, a legal ethics committee in Washington said he should be disbarred for his unparalleled attempts to help Trump overturn the 2020 election. A few weeks earlier, Giuliani sat for a voluntary interview with prosecutors working for the special counsel, Jack Smith, answering questions about, among other things, a plan to create fake slates of pro-Trump electors in key swing states that Biden had won, and he could face charges in an investigation led by the district attorney in Fulton County into efforts to reverse Trump's 2020 loss in Georgia. So it looks like the legal issues are piling up, not only for the former president, but also for his henchmen like Rudy Giuliani. 9:46 and a half right now. I'm going to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful.
Wow.
I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raised the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming mostly sunny this afternoon, and it's going to be warm and humid today, up to 91 this afternoon. The heat index 95 to 100 later today. Clear tonight, 67. Tomorrow, partly cloudy afternoon thunderstorms, even warmer and more humid with a high of 95. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Yeah.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Celebrating that birthday today on the show, playing lots of Rolling Stones music. Mick Jagger, one of the wildest, coolest, most outrageous rock and roll stars. And that song there from 1978, going back to the Some Girls album, Miss You, featuring blues harmonica player Sugar Blue on the harp. And I just found a story here about Mick Jagger's 80th birthday from Rolling Stone, and there's a little blurb above the headline. It says, Mick is sex, with an exclamation point. The headline says, Mick Jagger's 80 wildest, coolest, most outrageous moments. Happy 80th birthday to a man of wealth and taste. This is by Rob Sheffield, posted today. When asked to describe Mick Jagger, Keith Richards has famously replied, he's a nice bunch of guys. On his birthday, let's celebrate all of them. There have been so many Mick Jaggers over the years with their different highs and lows.
Here's a salute to the 80 coolest Mick Jagger moments, a mere 80 of the countless moments when Mick reminded us all why he's the ultimate rock star. He's always been the most visible of rock stars, but also the most mysterious, the most slippery, the one you'll never figure out no matter how hard you try. This is Mick at his most seductive, Mick at his most decadent, Mick at his most comical, but it's all Mick defining the outer limits of rock and roll cool. Let it bleed, now and forever. So then what they do in this article from Rolling Stone is they list 80 different moments over the past 60-some years since Mick and the Stones first came on the scene. And, of course, I don't have time to go through them all. We've only got a couple minutes left in the program. But I'll give you a couple of them. Number 80 is probably the most important of them all because it's when Mick met Keith. Mick meets Keith on a train platform in Dartford. This is 1961. They were both 18 years old. Two 18-year-old English schoolboys, former childhood classmates, notice each other on the platform, all because Mick is carrying a couple of blues records. Of course, they were American blues records, I would have to presume. Keith's on his way to art college. Mick's off to the London School of Economics. But they start chatting when Keith sees the Muddy Waters and Chuck Berry albums under Mick's arm. The beginning of music's most bizarrely long-lived dysfunctional brotherhood. So that's how it all started back in 1961. And I'll give you a few more of these. Number 78 says, Mick out Python's Monty Python in the Ruddles documentary. And by the way, if you're a fan of music and rock and roll, you got to check out that documentary. It's not really a documentary. It's a mockumentary. Came out in 1978 about the Ruddles. Okay. Mick was asked about the Ruddles. Do you think they'll ever get back together? Jagger says, I hope not. Of course, it was just a fake band. They weren't a real band. This was a spoof on the whole Beatles thing some 8 years after they had already disbanded. But anyway, Jagger getting in the last word. Happy birthday to Mick Jagger, celebrating his 80th birthday today. Try to listen to some music by the Rolling Stones today if you can. That's what I'll be listening to all day. Yeah, I hope you have a great day. Thanks for tuning in today and stay tuned to your local Civic Media radio station.
This is my home. This is where I belong. This is my home. This is where I belong. Oh yeah.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.